Wait, not ready.
That was the quietest this room has ever been in a long time. For just
turn
a moment.
Tyler down.
Ready, oh, that ready was not ready.
It's the Nerdcast Captain America, the Winter Soldier edition. So this is the first movie this year, probably in a long time, that all of your Nerdcast members have seen it opening weekend.
That's embarrassing.
Adam Adair.
It's not that embarrassing.
A little bit embarrassing. No. Just a tad.
Tyler Hedrick, Bob Garrett, and Iggy Michniacki here for a special edition.
Special edition.
I said it. Special edition.
It's a thing.
Aaron's, I don't know what she's doing.
We'll Aaron's a little angry
part.
Because she's not.
Cause, oh,
because
she's not a part of
well,
it.
Well, the thing is
Aaron,
all the members.
Aaron and Laura are here, but Aaron did not see the movie, so she does not have a microphone, so she's just angrily.
Cut out.
Flailing
if I didn't get
in the
to
background.
See the movie, I'd be angry too.
All right, so it's all about Captain America, just a short midweek broadcast that we're bringing to you about the Winter Soldier. So if you haven't seen the movie.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Yes,
oh
you
my
need
God,
to pause
don't
this.
Don't listen to this because it's going to
turn us off right now.
Right. One, what's wrong with you to stop listening?
So, one word. We'll give you more words, Tyler. Don't worry.
Oh
but one word the first
to
time
start
around.
With, right.
One word to describe the movie. Bob?
Can I have one word and an intensifier?
No. One word for the initial
time. Are you going to interrupt me?
No.
Oh,
maybe.
Okay, good. Fantastic.
Fantastic? Tyler, your one word?
No. No intensifier?
No. All right.
Should we skip to Adam?
Awesome.
Awesome. That's... So fantastic, awesome. Adam?
I mean, they got the good ones. So
scrumtralescent.
Yeah, scrumtralescent. Yeah, that works for me.
I thought about using that one, but
cowabunga. No, it was really good.
America.
It was fantastic. I'm going to go with fantastic with Bob here.
America,
America.
Yeah.
All right, Bob or Tyler, I guess I should say. All right, more words to describe it. So everybody's thoughts: fantastic, awesome, score. I don't even know what you said.
Scrumtralescent. I need to let it settle a little bit. I need to go see it again, but it might be.
Yeah.
The best movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe up to date.
I don't even have to wait. I would have to say it.
I mean, Avengers is
from
fantastic.
From a movie standpoint,
standpoint. So Avengers
sure.
is the most fun I've probably had in a movie ever. Yeah. And just seeing all that thing on screen.
This
special
was a
effects,
whole,
like
this
that.
Was a whole nother.
And Iron Man 1 is phenomenal, but I don't think they'd really found their, because Iron Man 1 was, for all intents and purposes, kind of a, I mean, they had made their plan, but it's kind of a standalone movie. This,
right.
this movie does not exist. You know, in a bubble, it can't. This movie can't exist outside of the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe that they're building.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just from a craft standpoint, like how well the movie was made, how well the fight choreography, the storytelling—like this is the best they've done so far.
It is. It is to me. It is the best un-Marvel Marvel movie. I mean, it's absolutely. You know, it doesn't seem like a superhero film. It is a just a all-out political thriller, and it just. Blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. It takes everything that you've always thought about, the whole Captain America universe, S.H.I.E.L.D., everything like that, and it just flips it.
Yeah. And then you add in like someone like me who's a huge comic book fan, and especially of the Captain America comic books. Like, I know these storylines that they're kind of touching on with the Winter Soldier, stuff like that. And just the mythos of Marvel Universe in general, but Captain America in general, like the Easter eggs and the fan service shout outs were like icing on the cake for what was already a good movie. It harkens back to, like we were saying earlier, to like, I mean, you've got a character from 3 Days of the Condor in there. Like, there's like 70s, 80s, like political thrillers with some action built into it. Just a well crafted, well told story. And then there's other things about it. Like, I don't think one thing that really jumped out at me early in the movie and continued to impress me. Even compared to other Marvel movies, but other action movies in general, is the fight choreography and the sound editing were phenomenal because all the fight sequences had weight to them. Like when Captain kicks somebody or punched someone, there was weight to it. People are slamming into walls or, you know, it looked, the sound editing in the fight sequences and the choreography was phenomenal.
The, well, Iggy here for the Tyler Show. And we should have let him get a few words out.
I can talk about this movie all day. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
So I was going to say my first observation on it was definitely the fighting, too. One of the comments I made to Aaron when I came back was the last couple times around, you hear people talking about, well, you know, putting Captain America on a movie, he's got a shield, like with these other. But when you looked at the way he fought in this, like, there's no. Anybody goes and watches this, there's no question about it anymore. Like, anybody who was making those comments early on about Captain America can't comment about that anyways.
Well, and it stayed so true to the character, like the way he was throwing the shield, the fights had weight to it. And this is by far way better than First Avenger, way better than Avengers, to really get to the core of who Captain America is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did it the best way they can, is to make it simple, because that's what Captain America does. He makes things simpler. With him, there's right and there's wrong, and he makes things not only simple for... He sees everything as simple, and he makes it simple for everyone else.
Right.
His 1940s, you know, gosh darn attitude, but he's a super soldier. Like, he just marches in and says, this is what's wrong, and I'm going to just do what I do and see what happens.
Yeah, you know? Kind of coming off what Bob was saying earlier, for me, Cap is the action hero guy.
Yeah.
Like, all of the action movies, the main character does these crazy, amazing things that you're like, how does he do that? Like, you watch Die Hard and Bruce Willis going, you know, above and beyond what a normal person could do. And there's that sense of like, well, I don't know if a real guy could really do that. But Cap, I mean, he does the things that a real person would do because he's just a regular guy with that. He's got the high moral code and everything like that. But then he's got the souped up super soldier stuff. I mean, that. So it's totally believable. Like,
the Winter Soldier also makes you appreciate the First Avenger a little bit more because we're watching the First Avenger again today, and Aaron's asking me, you know, is this, you know, how closely does this follow Captain America's origin story in Marvel? And I'm like, it's on the, you know, from a high level, it's the Ultimates, basically his origin with the Frozen in Time stuff, but they don't take, in the Ultimate Avengers, they don't take that much time to get into it. Mm-hmm. So they put a lot more into it in the movie. And then as we're saying, it gives you a little bit more respect for it, 'cause it really lets you see how he develops and why he's that person. So even building more, not only on his capabilities as a superhuman, but even his behaviors, as Tyler was just mentioning and all that. And you see all that now, that first one becomes an even better origin story, a better initial movie because of what he's done here in the second.
And like, it is, there's definitely the first Avenger definitely pulled way more from, there was definitely an Ultimates feel to it, that story. Granted, the new one definitely is way more core Marvel universe with Winter Soldier, especially because there's
Not in the Ultimate.
And they played with some interesting ideas with the backstory. I mean, there's a lot of changes, and obviously Captain America's backstory has been retconned God knows how many times because he first appeared in the 40s. So
with the Ultimates, Bucky gets old and...
Well, Bucky, for the longest time, when the Winter Soldier showed back up in the 2000s in the storyline, he came back a little bit before Civil War and then came back post-Civil War, 'cause he takes over. And they kind of allude to it more than a couple times, like with specific shots. Because, I mean, comic spoiler.
When he grabs the shield.
Well, there's a couple other things where he's holding it and there's doing things. Mm-hmm. Bucky eventually becomes Captain America in the comics for a significant matter of time. Him and Natasha and Falcon pal around after Steve Rogers gets killed in the comic books after Civil War. So,
and everybody knows killed in the comic books means then you show back. Well,
the reason I bring this up is it's funny because a lot of people were upset about the appearance of the Winter Soldier when they found out who he was. Because in the comics, you didn't know for a while because there was only ever one immutable rule in comic books for years and years. No one stays dead in a comic book unless their name is Uncle Ben, Bucky, or Jason Todd. And then within the year 2008, all three of them came back to life in one form or another in the comic books. But up until 2008, the rule was no one's dead in comic books unless they're Uncle Ben, Jason Todd, or Bucky. And then the Jason Todd one obviously was a weird story.
For all intents and purposes.
Uncle Ben was like Uncle an alternate ben universe
and,
yeah. Uncle Ben.
But Uncle Ben and Jason Todd are still technically dead, but no, Bucky's not. So it was a big deal, and I think it was funny because in the movie when they take off the mask and it's like, I think I actually even said it out loud. Bob, I said, here it goes. Yep. And then you see his face and you even...
And you heard gasps.
In the theater, you heard the gasps.
How did people not know?
Is that... Yeah, it was just... It was
they
nice
didn't really hide it in, like, the promotional stuff.
No,
like.
Did they... But, I mean, did it really say anywhere that it was...
There was definitely trailers, though, that where it was very clearly Sebastian Stan. Yeah. Like,
okay, but did, like, for the person who's not into the comics
I
as
guess,
much...
I guess, maybe not.
They wouldn't miss it.
Connect the dots there.
It's just the eyes and the...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's tough for me to know if you can tell or not because...
Right.
I've always known him, the Winter Soldier. I mean, I remember when First Avenger came out and they introduced Bucky, I'm like, I really hope that they do a Winter Soldier story after this.
Right.
And they did, and it was fantastic.
The Winter, and he looked, I really, like...
A lot of people like to crap on
awesome.
Sebastian Stan. Yeah. I like Sebastian Stan. I think he was fantastic.
He did good, but his look was fantastic, especially with the mask on. Yeah. Was just... brutally that arm. I was like, oh, that is awesome. But
yeah.
No, he was sized, you know, size to size. His look, the way they, you know, I mean, it's, he doesn't have a lot of detail in the comic too, and necessarily in the costume. So there's not like, oh, we're revolutionizing his look. Like Captain America has completely changed his look.
He definitely had a very bare bones look.
And he still does for the most part in this. But when you still compare the costumes and then the size to size for the characters, the way they matched up and everything, that was a perfect fit as well. I thought he held up well to Captain America. I
like the way they did Captain America's. I mean, later on when he's trying to bring back Bucky, he puts on the old school suit.
Right.
But the suit they have him wearing early on is very much the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Steve Rogers' Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. suit.
Yeah, I like
after
it.
He
yeah.
comes back, when he comes back from not being dead in Civil War, he lets Bucky continue to be Captain America, and he just becomes Steve, which was kind of funny in the comic books. Mm. Steve Rogers' Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he wore a suit very similar to that, and I think it was... Everyone looked cool. And if there was one character I was really concerned about, how's this guy going to work on? How's he not going to be campy and weird and out there? The Falcon worked really well.
Yeah.
I was impressed with what they did with the Falcon.
Really well.
Yeah, I was kind of...
And his character arc was fun as like the veteran, you know. Yeah.
Well, that was my fear of the movie, honestly, was pulling him in. Because now you're getting to the cheesy Captain America stuff. You're getting into the...
Captain America will always be cheesy.
Yeah, but even, you know, a few decades ago in comics when it was just campy, I guess is the way to put it. And yeah, that was probably my biggest fear in the movie of how they're going to do that. And I agree, they pulled it off pretty well.
No, I really liked that opening scene. On your left.
On your left. You just ran really, 13 miles in 30 minutes.
His really? Cap's notebook with his list might be the funniest / cutest thing in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Star Wars / Trek.
Yeah. Yes. Was it Rocky and...
it was Rocky 2 ?
Yeah.
No, it was, characters, so we feel that the Winter Soldier was good. The progression of Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow.
Yeah, they made her into
a badass.
Badass. She was a serious character.
I was kind of worried during, you know, throughout the movie because she always had that look on her face like she knows something more or there's something going on.
It's Natasha.
She always knows what's going on.
Right? Yeah, well, but it just seemed like.
She even makes the comment in there. I may act like I always know what's going on, but I don't know what's going on.
I was like, oh man, I'm just worried that she's going to do something here.
No, well, she said a big part for her, she felt like in her first in Iron Man and into the Avengers, she didn't get a lot of say of what was going on with her character, and they let her. This time around, she got to treat her character like it was a main Avengers character, and I think it was because of the.
Success of
the fanboys even maybe getting behind her with the Avengers, whatever it was. But she made comments that she felt like, you know, these other people are getting a little bit more range with their characters because they are these characters. They have their own movies. They have to spin off, and I'm just this extra character thrown into a couple of these films.
I've seen box sleeves for, like, the Blu-rays that has Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Thor, but... Yeah, where was Black Widow on that? It was never on there.
In an interview right beforehand, she said they should have subtitled it. She said she was pleased with the amount of time she got in the movie and her character, and she said they should have subtitled it secretly a Black Widow movie.
No, I mean, that definitely works, yeah.
She was fantastic. As a super spy, she does some really, I mean, she has her moment. Because, like huge chunks of the movie are not an action picture. It's a political thriller, you know, on the run from the man and stuff like that.
I love the Apple Store scene.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was good.
You guys are practically twins.
I wish. Specimen.
What about Robert Redford?
I thought he was good. It's fun to see him play against type, you know, like we said, see the, you know, the guy from 3 Days of the Condor be the, you know, the bad guy, but didn't have a lot to do. Other than be menacing,
he came off like a recent James Bond villain.
Yeah,
I mean it was. Yeah. You know that sensor, like the scene where he met up with the Winter Soldier in the house.
He has scenes that shine, like the Winter Soldier.
Him
shooting the maid, like that scene.
Was like, whoa!
Any of the scenes where he has to interact with Nick Fury were super solid. So he has the early one with Nick Fury that was really good, where you don't know he's the good guy, bad guy.
Right.
And then his scene with Nick at the very end, I thought was really good. But he had a lot of time where he just stands around. You know?
He did. He had some wit going, a lot of the comments, especially with the you know, the council, was very witty with some of his responses.
Yeah.
I think it was a matter of he did what he needed to do for the movie. I wasn't blown away by him, but he did what he needed to do.
It was a solid. solid performance.
It was a great deal of, and Tyler's made mention of it a few times, of his fear with The Amazing Spider-Man 2 of introducing too many characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great job. They had enough characters in here, two big villains. They, yeah. I mean, even
well,
more.
Well, this one, and like, the one cool thing about this is they had multiple villains. Specifically, they had multiple comic book villains in this movie.
Right.
Like, if you're a comic book
and
fan,
you
have Alexander Pierce, mm-hmm. you have the Winter Soldier, you have Arnim Zola, you have Brock Rumlow / Crossbones, you've got Agent 13, Sharon Carter, you've got, in the credit scene, you've got Baron von Strucker. You've got a shit ton of people, but they explain the people that someone who doesn't know what they're watching needs to know. And let people who know the backstory, like for fan service, like, oh, by the way, you know who this guy is. Just enjoy that we're going to refer to that guy in the very first sequence. His last name is Rumlow. And you know now for the whole movie that that guy is going to one day be Crossbones. But we're not going to make a thing of it. You know,
he might show up in the next movie.
Right. Well, he very clearly is going to show up in the next movie because when they fish him out of the burning wreckage of the building,
he was still alive.
They make a point of zooming in on that harness he's wearing.
Yeah.
That makes an X on his chest. That's right. Very much like this is Crossbones's outfit with the cross on the chest. And so, like, there was a lot of those little subtle, I mean, I shouldn't say subtle, but little things to show back. I mean, I loved the way they did Arnim Zola. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
So, favorite scene in the movie, Adam?
Yeah. Probably the glass elevator fight.
Ah, you took mine.
It's so good. The comment. So
not even
before we get started, anybody want to get along?
Yes. Not even the comment, the way he's reading everything beforehand. And you knew when they get in and you see him, like, everybody knew what was coming.
Right.
Everybody knew what was coming, but they still played it out to build that suspense with it, because he's watching him with the hand on the gun, and then he sees the guy with the sweat, and then he starts building it. And he starts making the facial expressions like, oh, great, here we go. And then, yeah, he, the icing on the cake was the comment. That was, it's building up this tension and this seriousness, and then all of a sudden the theater just roars in laughter when he makes that comment. So, Tyler, favorite scene besides the elevator scene?
That's tough.
So maybe your second favorite scene.
For Cap, it's probably...
Oh, is he going to pick one for each character?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I need to pick one with Cap in it, because, like, he was fantastic. And, like, I don't think we mentioned earlier, I mean, he's had ups and downs, and some people are not big fans, some people. Can we give more credit to, like, the screen presence that is Chris Evans?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
He's fantastic, and he's getting better. Like, he...
No,
he
he's
really good.
There's no signs of the Human Torch in this character, these performances, for sure.
No.
I'm not going to blame that one on him.
No signs of Michael B. Jordan in this.
But... I don't know. I think the scene's a little long. I think it could have been cut a little bit. But the sequence of Nick Fury trying to get away from everyone in the car chase scene.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that sequence is freaking amazing. We were talking about characters, we didn't touch on it. This one, I mean, it's stressed over and over again, year after year, comic after comic in the comic books. But this movie was the first one to finally be like, oh, by the way, nobody fucks with Nick Fury. He is by far the biggest badass in the entire Marvel universe. He may not have superpowers. He may or may not, live forever. He doesn't have superpowers. But he always knows what the hell's going on. He's on top of everything.
Yeah.
No one messes with Nick Fury.
That's great scene. Bob?
I'm going to go the other way. I actually was really excited about the scene where Cap met up again with Peggy from the first film.
That was a tough scene.
That was a very tough scene. It was really powerful.
The relapse part, really.
When she started coughing, she lost her memory.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well written. It was just a nice, tender moment in contrast with what everything else that was going on.
Talking about the first Avenger and talking about the character they have built in the cinematic universe of Captain America, that is a major scene for that because it really, I mean, he makes plenty of comments of nobody that I have anything in common with or nobody or anything like that.
My barbershop quartet's dead.
Yeah. So, all
that's
and then
link
you,
to the past.
And then you get that and you just see it like that. That's a tough scene.
Yeah. It's very tough. It was my favorite scene.
Well, very well done. I think the elevator one would be my favorite too. Otherwise though, the opening right on the ship.
Oh, the ship.
Yeah. When he just goes that around
like,
that ship.
That was like Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, the, yeah. It was on, like right there. It just set
first
the tone.
Number two.
It set the tone for the whole movie, but it also, that's what I was saying, it set the tone for anybody wants to say that Captain America and his shield don't belong with these other superheroes, yeah.
Captain Goddamn America.
They can go to hell because this scene right here, he ran it around. It
and that's another one
awesome.
Of those, like, let's about? Throw a random character in here that if you're a fan of the comic books, you're totally on top of it. If not, it's just a guy.
I was waiting for him to come back.
With Batroc the Leaper, like, yeah. He's not a huge villain in the comic books, but he shows up in a lot of Captain America comic books, but they have a French guy who kicks a lot, then that was what they did with it. But for a comic book also fan, you're like, it's Batroc the Leaper.
And it also set up that conspiracy type issue going on where Natasha was downloading files and stuff like that and going, you know, part of, well, he didn't know what that mission was. And so it's kind of set everything into motion for the rest of the film, I think.
And
yeah,
can I say...
that one's on me.
Well, in fact, Widow does an amazing job on that one, too. We want to talk about, you know, that really shows Cap as being able to handle his own. But, I mean, she takes down more people than the whole other strike team does. I mean, Cap takes down basically everybody, and she gets everyone else in the strike team. Got like what, three guys?
Three guys holding the hostages.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just reminds me of the scene talking about establishing those characters on the rooftop. It's like, oh, you're not going to throw me from this roof. That's not your style. No, it's not. But it's
hers.
So no, it's
speaking of that character, Sitwell, Jasper Sitwell, who's popped up now a couple times in the movies. It really. I don't know if anyone else is following the show. But
it's going to screw up the show.
What is it doing to the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I heard this.
They said the whole next month is, yeah.
Because last week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some things really went down with some other characters, some expanded universe, like Victoria Hand, who's been... Because they've introduced a couple characters. They've introduced these really random characters but that are fairly big deals in the comic books in little, like... Oh, we'll have one episode here, and Victoria Hand's going to show up, and she's going to have a thing, and it's going to be played by a fairly big actor, and then she's going to go away. Then they had an episode a couple weeks ago where, what's his name? Bill Paxton played a character in just a small little part, and thing, and then he disappears again. And then they bring back these characters, and Sitwell was in an episode of Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., and then he's gone again. And then last week, a lot of it came together, and some things went down. You find out there's some people working at S.H.I.E.L.D. who maybe don't have everyone's best interest. Tomorrow night's episode could really... It's going to be interesting to see where they go. Because they've been very tied to the universe.
Well, they said it's going to be tied directly into the movie.
So I'm really curious to see where it goes.
This is the next four
episodes.
You
have an entire show based around a team that works for S.H.I.E.L.D. who...
is now no longer in existence?
Yeah. Over a 48-hour period, just, you know, gone. So.
They said... Well, I mean, it was... the big thing was about it is that they made no remarks. They said, if you're going to watch Monday's episode, you better be familiar with what happened in the movie because... everything's changed now, and they're even the next four episodes even have like a subtitle or whatever,
For
a little series part because it's different. But that's a great thing too. I haven't watched the show. I've heard mixed things on it.
It's gotten
but it still
much
ties.
Better in the last few episodes, so I'm excited to see what they do because this gives them, if nothing else, it forces them to try some new things. But yeah. The show started okay. Had some rough spots, but the last three or four episodes have been, I think, really solid.
So Tyler mentions a bunch of villains that, you know, get a nod even for a brief moment. What about some heroes that they didn't get any screen time, but there was some...
Doctor Strange!
There you go. So Hydra did not trust Strange, but they also zoomed in on a nice repaired tower there.
With a big A on the front side of it.
For the Avengers Tower. So is this... you know, in some universe, you talk about the many different universes
Stark
of Marvel.
Becomes the backer of the Avengers.
Basically, they don't. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not the funder in all the universes, and they are in the Avengers Tower, all taken care of by Tony Stark.
And Jarvis and stuff like that. They made a mention of it. They, right after that movie came out, someone posted online a still, like an on the set shot of Age of Ultron, and it showed Chris Evans in his Captain America, and on his shoulder there was a patch with the Avengers A on it, like it is on the side of the building.
Okay.
So I think that definitely Avengers Tower and Stark and stuff's going to come into play.
All right. Any other nods?
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
They looked perfectly creepy, like they should.
Yes.
I didn't even, an embarrassing admittance here.
Didn't realize who it was? Or?
We watched it, and they go through there, and then they say that, and they even said the twins.
Yeah.
I'm just so used to, in the Marvel universe, I know I'm so used to those are Magneto's children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That I forget that we have to separate those two because those are Fox's Marvel
characters. Well, Fox
characters.
Has, I don't know if they're going to have Scarlet Witch. They have Quicksilver.
I'm pretty sure they're doing both. I don't remember exactly. But my point is in this universe, we have to remove anything that's involved with the X-Men. And so I have to remember that when I'm thinking, you know, like it threw me off enough to say, I don't know, what's going on here?
And that's one thing that makes me super sad. Like, there's a lot of storylines that'd be fun if we could have Spider-Man, the X-Men, if we could have the Fantastic Four. But the one that kills me especially, and I didn't think about it until they showed the twins in the cells, is we'll never get a movie that tackles House of M. Because mm-hmm. House of M is a story.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's where I know it. That's the...
And, I mean, Quicksilver, I mean, and those are two really interesting characters to see what they do in Age of Ultron. I mean, Quicksilver's he's fast. He's like the Flash. But Wanda is a weird-ass character even within the X-Men. And there's a lot of weird characters in the X-Men.
She's true. A very that's saying something, underappreciated right? character is a good way to put it, too. Somebody that can bring... She's like a Jean Grey for so long.
Well, she's one of those characters who, like... you know, she has some magic and stuff, and then, you know, all of a sudden she'll do something that completely changes the world with, like, a stray thought kind of thing, so.
All right, so, final thoughts. What's your elevator pitch here, I guess, to somebody who hasn't seen it yet?
Well, I mean, if you're not a fan of the comic books, it might be the best Marvel movie that's been made yet.
Uh-huh.
If you are a fan of the comic books... I mean, I'm not going to spoil
anything
for you.
It might be the best Marvel movie.
I'm not even spoiling. Like, it's a really good movie that also pays service to so much of the Marvel Universe. I mean, the one storyline that I don't think gets enough attention, and it's tough to pick out if you don't watch it, is... So, Cap's got the next-door neighbor, and then he goes and visits Peggy. Then he gets home, and he's going to ask out the neighbor. And before he does it, she's on the phone with her aunt. She makes a comment of her aunt. Closes the phone. Then Nick gets attacked, and she mentions that her name is Agent 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't talk about it all later. She's Agent 13 and thing. And at the very end of the movie, Black Widow throws out the fact that her name is Sharon. So it's obviously Sharon Carter, Peggy's niece and or grandniece, depending on the storyline. So, like, Emily Van Camp has all of 5 scenes in the movie, but they've definitely set her up to be like the love interest, to be the Sharon Carter of the comic books, who may or may not eventually kill Cap. So that'd be interesting.
Bob, you're pitching it to somebody on the elevator.
I gotta agree with Tyler. I mean, it is a solid political thriller. You don't have to be a Marvel fan to see this movie. It's just good action, good suspense. Good action, good suspense, good performances. One thing I gotta say is the directors. I think it's the Russo brothers. They actually direct Community. They actually created Community, this TV series.
And a character from Community had a little cameo in there.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Pudu.
Yeah,
he has a little cameo for a second.
Yep. So, I mean, it's definitely right now, it's probably the best film of the year.
All right, Adam, final thoughts, elevator pitch?
Elevator pitch is easy. I mean, if you like good movies, go see it. If you like action movies, go see it. If you like political thrillers, go see it. If you like comic book movies, go see it.
So go see it.
Yeah, really, unless the only type of movie you enjoy is a romantic comedy... Even then, you might still want to go see it.
There's some funny.
Also, that's what I mean. It's funny and it's got some romance.
I like that they did.
Maybe go see it.
You got Scarlett Johansson. You got Chris Evans.
Well, I like the way they did that relationship too.
They didn't
get too weird with it. And I think like he said, if you've ever wanted to see Captain America done right, like the way he is in the comics, go see this movie. Right. This is who Captain America is, from the way he fights to the things he does. Like, it's pretty good.
Well, a perfect line to close it on. Perfect segue to our exit to Tyler.
Oh, and also, hey, if you haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry that you listened to this because we've ruined everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
We won't ruin this, but we need to tell you.
If you've seen it but you didn't catch this, how about that?
Go back and watch it and pay attention to Nick Fury's tombstone. That might be the best Easter egg in the whole movie.
Yep, definitely.
Agreed. All right. So Iggy signing off for the Nerdcast crew on this special edition, because Tyler loves special editions. Captain America, the Winter Soldier episode. We'll catch you next week.